Father, we come as a body before you. And Lord, we lift up Pastor Schaller today, Israel, Pastor Ben, Ramona, the body of Christ. Lord, just anoint his time. God, just pray your word would send forth and encourage, strengthen, settle, build the body of Christ. Pray for Pastor Love this morning and the teenagers. Pray you would anoint the messages, anoint the ears to hear, anoint the hearts to receive. Lord, thank you. We are in a Word of God revival. Your word has free course. It is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. Lord, we pray today as we draw near to hear, God, that you would help us, that we would lay aside any weight and the sin that so easily besets us, unbelief, and we would receive with meekness the engrafted word. Lord, thank you for bringing Pastor Schiavelli back. Thank you for the amazing time, the testimonies throughout West Africa, Liberia, Ghana, Togo, and now here in Baltimore this morning. This is a super opportunity to hear the word, to be occupied with you. So, Father, we just pray that you would quicken us to hear. We would be more ready to hear. Teach us how to hear. Teach us how to focus on what we should hear, the word of God. Father, we love you and thank you. In Christ's name, amen. As you're standing, if you can open your Bibles to three portions of Scripture. First one will be John chapter 17. And we'll look at verses 11, 12, 15. John chapter 17, verses 11, 12, 15. All right, John chapter 17. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And then verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Then 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And the last verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Father, thank you today. Thank you for the Spirit of God, life of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the mission. We pray today that you would give us an ear to hear what the Word of God says, the Spirit says. We thank you, God. Thank you for the city of Baltimore. We pray for souls and disciples and churches throughout this city that you would touch them this morning. Pray for churches throughout America. God. Touch them throughout this world. Bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. It's great to be here. I know when you arrive on this side of the ground, you're above the ground. That's an awesome blessing.
Amen.
I've had people say to me, "It's great that you're home." And I said, "Yes, and alive." That's even better part. Actually, it's much better. And we had just a tremendous time when you read those verses from John 17, 11, 12, and 15. We think about how God keeps. And 1 Peter 1, 5, kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. And this, the keeping power of God, is really quite an amazing doctrine and truth. The last day that I was in Ghana, well, we had a big dinner, and two people cooked. And they were two young ladies at the time in their teens who came to live with my wife and I in Tema, Ghana. And just to see them there with their children. And they were both there with their three children. And it doesn't make you feel old, it just makes you feel blessed. And it was really great to see how they love the word. And 30 years later, 27 years later, they are still walking with God. And they've had some real trials and difficulties. They've had situations in relationships. But yet, just to be there with them, for them coming to church, to hear the word of God, and just to see how they have really raised their children, and their children have a great appreciation for the grace of God. And then they kept hugging me, and I said, "You don't even know who I am." They said, "Oh, yes, we do. Our mothers tell us everything that took place." And you just think about the keeping power of God and how God keeps us. And the word, there's a number of words that are used, Shema, in the Old Testament, and three different words in the New Testament. And if you put them all together, it does speak of safety and protection. But I kept focusing on these two words that were used most often. God observes you to preserve you. Say that. God observes me to preserve me. He doesn't observe me to make a critical analysis. He doesn't observe me to get upset about my life and all that. He's only observing who I am in Christ and the new person. And he observes to preserve. And I think that's amazing. When I was thinking this last couple days about being self-conscious and what a monster of an evil sin that is. And many people are always talking about what was it that Satan did in heaven that would cause him to be cast out and then take what some people could estimate as millions of angels and they become demons. And some people estimate it could be 33 million demons. I'm not so sure that's right or wrong, but it's just what I've looked at from different people. And what did he do? What took place? Instead of observing God, he took his eyes off of God, just started looking at himself. He became what? Lucifer became self-conscious. And then he went to the garden, and then two people in the garden who were God-conscious listened to one who was self-conscious, and guess what they became? Self-conscious. They became self-conscious, started looking at themselves. Hey, God's holding out on you. And they took their eyes off of God and put their eyes on themselves. See, it doesn't seem like it's such a bad deal. It doesn't seem like, well, that's not, is that evil? That's not like murder. That's not, well, those things happen as a result of being self-conscious. Those things happen in people's lives. When I become self-conscious, then I become self-conscious. I become world-conscious. I become situational conscious. And really what's taking place is the enemy is just trying to get me to have my eyes off of God. Take my eyes off of God. And yet God is the one who keeps us. He observes us to preserve us. And I think that's incredible. God observes your life and my life so that he can preserve us. His objective is to keep us safe, to protect us. And he observes us to preserve us. And even when I am disciplined by God, it's still the loving heart of God observing us to preserve us. I love the two messages on Wednesday night. I got home late, but I watched them on, what do you call that thing? The internet. Pastor Sam and Pastor Ronaldo. And it was great. It was great to just listen to them. And observe to preserve. This is the word tereo, phulasso, phoreo in the Greek language. And it means that this is exactly what God is doing. He's keeping me safe and protecting me because he's observing me to preserve me. Now, Pastor Hadley was observing the room and should he read the notes. And I know as a lot of parents, we go into children's rooms and we observe something. And then many times we have to do the cleanup just to preserve things. What we observe, we say, oh, goodness, and I'm going to preserve this. And but that was never me. I never was a messy kid. I was always very, very neat. I keep like 1/2 of an inch between every shirt. And I can tell when my wife goes into the closet, she's looking for something, and she does this. I said, you've been here. Observe to preserve. And this is amazing. God keeps us. And just as God kept those two young ladies and they are married and they have 3 children and their children are just amazing. And he's observed them to preserve them. He's kept them. And oftentimes we enter into people's lives and situations. And of course, and maybe our heart is in the right place, but we would like to keep them. And we maybe get a plan together to make that happen through sometimes thinking and manipulation and whatnot. I know Pastor Barry does not do that with the Christian high school. He lets God observe and God preserve. Amen? Are you with me? Yes, of course you are. You're with me. And that's great. And I was amazed. I went to Liberia. It was the first time in 5 years that I had been there. And I was with Pastor Alfred. By the way, Pastor Alfred sends his greetings. He is an incredible man of God. I am so blessed with his life. And just the churches there. We have 27 churches in Liberia, Greater Grace Churches. And it's phenomenal what God is doing. And it's in the midst of still, it's still a war-torn country. There's still a lot of things that are going on there that are not the best deal. But he's just like walking with God. And he lives such a self-sacrificial life. I mean, really, he doesn't even think about himself. And I can tell just the way he eats and how he lives and what he does with his finances. And it was a great blessing. Then on to Ghana, we had 3,000 people in 3 conventions. And it was phenomenal. 3,000 Greater Grace people. These are Greater Grace people. Sometimes people ask us why we travel for so long. Hello? I mean, you know, I don't know what else to tell you, you know. But it was amazing. And you see how God has kept the ministry. And the ministry has been under assault at times in the last 30-something years. And there's been trouble, there's been trials, there's been revolutions, there's been difficulties, there's been wars, there's been famines, there's been diseases. There's all kinds of things that take place. But yet God does what? What's the word? He keeps them. He keeps his people. He's a divine keeper in Psalm 121. And I love it, God keeping me. And you know what? I can't keep myself. If you've ever tried, you've seen how frustrating that can be. Can you not? Hello? You can see how frustrating that can be to try to keep yourself spiritual. Keep yourself on target. Keep yourself walking with God. Keep yourself being successful or whatever that may be. And I try to keep myself and it becomes even more frustrating and I find myself on the losing end of that whole deal. So I have come to a conclusion at the age of whatever I am that I'm going to let God keep me. Letting God keep me. This is the key. And when I try to keep myself and I get my eyes on myself, I enter into an area that's more than just sin, but can even venture into evil. Because I'm becoming self-conscious instead of God-conscious. If I'm God-conscious, God will do the keeping. If I'm self-conscious, I'll put it all together myself. And by the way, that's a very interesting thing how that can happen in Christianity, even with believers. That they will, by the way, they say, people will say, I believe in eternal security, without a doubt. Yeah, but you do a lot of, you make a lot of effort keeping yourself. Make a lot of effort keeping yourself. You say you believe in eternal security, but are you secure in God? Are you secure in God that you'll let God? It doesn't mean that I'm totally out of the picture in some hyper-spiritual way, but I'm going to allow God to lead me, to guide me, to protect me, to help me, to teach me, to show me, to develop me, to train me. I'm going to let God do the keeping. And this is really amazing when you think about this word in Ephesians 1:13. Are you with me?
Yes,
are you the 9 o'clock with me?
Yes.
Are you here today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I heard a yes over there. Yes. There's George Hayes, the famous George Hayes. In Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30, there's an amazing word used. It says, when you believed or you trusted, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Say that. I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit. Sealed. Spragus is the word. It means God's going to keep you. That's what spragus means. It means security. It means security. It means two things. Ownership by God and security in God. Owned, I am owned by God, and I am secure in God. And he says it again in 4:30, we are sealed until the day of redemption. Isn't that awesome? Hello! Sealed until the day of redemption. That God owns me. By the way, there's no mortgage on my life. And I'm not paying rent. Are you with me? Satan would like to take out a mortgage. No, God owns me, full payment bought and secured by the blood of Christ at the cross. I'm owned by God and I am secure in God. We are sealed. That's why this message that you can lose the Holy Spirit is so satanic. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
Internet, did you hear what I just said? It's satanic. Why? Because the very one who was booted out of heaven is the propagator of that message. So that you would think that by your failure or your success or by your sin that you could lose God. Which is incredible to even think. That I am kept by God. And Jesus prayed the prayer in John 17, 11, 12, and 15. He prayed it. Keep them. Jesus, the Son, talking to the Father, keep them in your name. Keep them from what? Evil. Keep us from evil. We are in an evil world, but we're not of it. And we are absolutely kept by God from evil, unless you want to entertain it by stepping into it. And then God will still keep you. I was thinking about Jacob this morning. I was talking to Mike Plunkett in, I know, I'm going to say the right thing, Southeast Asia. Asia. I was talking to him on FaceTime. I love FaceTime. So one thing I have on my little iPad that I can talk to people overseas. And he was saying there's some new laws coming. And I said, who cares about new laws where you live? Whatever. God keeps you. Amen? I remember when little Mike Plunkett and little Avril Bates used to run around in the yard where we lived many years ago in the 80s. They were little kids running around. And then now they're adults, amazing adults in a faraway country doing an amazing work with God. It's incredible. God's done what? From beginning to end, he keeps us. He observes us to preserve us. And I think it's amazing. So here's Jacob, and Jacob has made a decision that he is going to somehow steal the blessing. By the way, he's stealing something he already owns. Duh. No, believe we can do that. We can try to get something that's already ours. We already possess it, and we're trying to pay for it again. Do you ever try to pay for your sins by doing good works? Do you ever try to pay for your sins? You sinned one day, and you gave double in the offering?
And you think that was painful. That's what I'm talking. It's called the release of guilt and anxiety through decision making. No, God paid already, confessed, and he was faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen? So you already got the birthright and the blessing. You got the birthright by promise. Don't listen to your mother. No, you know, Jacob listened to mama. Got in trouble. Okay? Now, don't take that the wrong way. Right? He listened to mama, and she connived and maneuvered and whatnot. Then he gets the blessing. And then all of a sudden, Esau's on the attack. And in Genesis 28, Jacob is leaving the promised land. Yeah, imagine that. On the way out, and you've heard me say this before, on the way out of the promised land, God gives him 7 promises. I'm going to give you the land. You're going to spread abroad. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to keep you. I'm never going to forsake you, and I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Are you with me? But he said, I'm going to keep you. He uses the word shamar there. I'm going to keep you, Jacob. You belong to me. For better or for worse. Whatever. When you're walking with God, you're Israel. When you're not walking with God, you're a trickster, denier, supplanter, and schemer. You're still mine. Hello? You walk with God, you belong to God. You don't walk with God, you belong to God. Hello? He doesn't give up ownership and then mortgage you out for payments. You belong to God. All right? God keeps us. And I'm going to bring you back, he said to him. Genesis 28 and 15. He's in the keeping business. He owns us and he keeps us and we are absolutely secure. He observes us to preserve us. Abraham, here you go. I told you just to wait for a while, but you got to have Ishmael, right? I mean, I made a promise to you. And I didn't tell you when the promise was going to take place, but because you are a little bit anxious and a little bit worried about whether God lies or something, that you go into Hagar and you have Ishmael, but you know what, Abraham? The promises. And I love this. Abraham was in 7 locations, and God kept him everywhere. Study Abraham from Genesis 11 to Genesis 26. He was in 7 different locations. And everywhere he went, whether it was in God's will or out of God's will, God did what? Kept him. He kept him. Is God going to keep your children?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, if you spend your whole life trying to do it, you might get a little bit frustrated, and even though you try, and this or that happens, success or failure, God's still going to do it. Amen? I was just looking at Tina and Asibi's children, you know? And by the way, they're kind of big. Kids grow. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, what's going on here? And God keeps them. And they love grace, and they love the Word. And you see them in church. It's amazing. God keeping them. He observes us to preserve us. He did it with Joseph for 93 years. From the time Joseph was 17 till he was 110, how did it go in Egypt? Did God keep him?
Yes.
Hello? God kept him. Kept him from sin with Potiphar's wife. Kept him in the prison. Raised him right up. Kept him in Egypt. Made him second voice in the whole nation, the most powerful nation on earth. And then, yes, he came out, his bones came out, but he was kept by God. And that's incredible. We realize that God keeps us. And we had a thought the other day in someplace in West Africa. Keeping with God means I'm, and I want you to repeat this so you'll remember it. What you repeat, it's easy to remember. I'm in his heart. I'm in his eye. I'm in his hand. I'm in his heart. I'm in his eye. And I'm in his hand. And that's Psalm 78, verse 72. That he fed them with the integrity of his heart. And he guided them, that's his eye, with the skillfulness of his hand. And it's incredible. I am in God's heart. I am in God's eye. I am in God's hand. I'm kept by God. He observes me to preserve me. That's why he says We've had this doctrine before, and I love it. I continually use it in West Africa and different parts of Africa. I am the apple of God's eye. Say that. I am the apple of God's eye. And the word apple in the Hebrew means the little boy or the little girl. And God sees us. I like how God sees us as the little boy. Hello? Okay, open your eyes. I'm the apple of eye, open eye. I am the little boy or the little girl of God's eye. The Hebrew word is, that's how it's explained, not little man or little woman, little boy and little girl. And that means if you look, we had people do this. I had Pastor Fred Ellis do this Friday night in class. I said, look in your wife's eye. And what do you see in that little thing in her eye? You see yourself, don't you? Can you see? Take a look in your wife's eye. No, look closer. You're married. Come on, you can get closer. Get closer. What do you see in her eye? That little round thing, brown thing. You see who? Okay, look in his eye. What do you see? You're ruining the message. What do you see when you look in his eye? You see yourself. Now watch. When God looks in your eye, he sees himself. When God looks in your eye, he sees himself. And when you look in God's eye, you see yourself. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm kept by God. And every verse in the scriptures that speaks about apple speaks about keeping. Deuteronomy 32:10, I led him, I guided him, I instructed him, and I kept him as the apple of the eye. Are you with me? Psalm 17, verse 8, hide me and keep me as the apple of your eye. Proverbs 7, 2, instructed and living as the apple of the eye. Lamentations 2, 18, the apple of the eye will never cease. Zechariah 2, 8, the apple of the eye kept as the apple of the eye. It always speaks about keeping. And by the way, when somebody puts their finger in your eye, does it pain you? Have you ever had somebody on the basketball court? I'm not going to use hockey because they have ridiculous masks on now. We never had that stuff. We played hockey, and that's why all the teeth are missing, and played broken noses and whatnot. We never had this thing in front. We never even had a helmet. When we played, we didn't have a helmet. God, what's going on today? Helmets and masks and all kinds of things, you know? You play sports to get beat up. That's what it's all about. But on the basketball court, I remember somebody stuck their finger in my eye. That's painful. You walk around with that thing all day long. When somebody touches you, they're sticking their finger in God's eye. Hello? And that not only pains you, but it pains God. Sticking your finger in God's eye is, don't touch the apple of my eye. The word is naga, touch to hurt and cause pain. I'm the apple of God's eye. God keeps us. I'm in God, and this is vital. This verse came to me yesterday, and I love this verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And this is important, because when I don't do this, or I fail to do this, I find myself with all kinds of confusion and anxiety. Watch. I will keep him. We're going to go Isaiah 26:3 first. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. God says, I will keep you in shalom, shalom, perfect peace, when your mind is yetzir, literally right on me. Your mind is stayed on me, and you will be kept in perfect peace. When my mind goes off of God's mind and I start to do my own thinking, that's when the confusion comes. Are you with me? That's when the problem comes. And Paul says the same thing to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. He says it, he'll keep us. The peace of God that passes understanding, the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep me. God wants to keep me. New Testament keeping. It's amazing. God keeping me. But as soon as I get my mind off of God's thoughts and God's word and God's will and God's ways, I find myself literally getting very confused. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to keep my mind on God's mind. That his mind is my mind. So when I begin to think I have no value, or I begin to fear or live in insecurity, anxiety, human reason, then I find myself in a place where experientially I'm not being kept by God. I'm kept positionally, but experientially my mind is in another place. And God says, listen, I want to keep you. I'm keeping you forever. I want to keep you experientially, but you've got to listen to what my thoughts are and what my ways will become your ways. Kept by God. Noah was kept for how many years? Can you imagine the opposition? 120 years building an ark, and you're the only one that even knows what's going on and the only one that believes God. Kept by God for 120 years. How long has God kept covenant with Israel? Well, you can go back to Genesis chapter 3. You can say 6,000 years God has kept his covenant and promises. Hello? We've been living a meager few years, and God says, oh gosh, I go like thousands of years back. I've been keeping this nation. I've been keeping this people. I've been keeping covenant. I've been keeping the finished work. I'm keeping you. So for me, God help me to stop trying to keep myself. You ever try to? Now, I know there's a balance to this, but I'm not going to give it this morning. Huh? I'm going to keep myself healthy. One day, I ate four of the worst things you could ever eat in one day. My wife's here, so I got to be careful. She's over here. She's writing this down. No, I ate four different things at four times during the day that I should never have touched. All from the street. All street food. My son went out and got me some fried pork. Fried street pork. Woo! It was burnt. It was so good. Was like eating charcoal pig. I'm sorry. It was unbelievable. Then somebody brought me something from another grill up the street in the Shama, and it was like chicken that was put on, and that tasted like rubber. But when you're hungry, everything goes. Then somebody brought me some yam that was cooked in some oil. I shouldn't go any further. Okay. But God does what? Keeps us. Didn't have one stomach problem at all. Nothing. Everything was just fine, super dandy. I was kept by God. And I don't presume against God and go about to do those things on purpose. They just happen to be. Just happen to be that way, you know. It's amazing. I was talking with Pastor Morkley, and he took a flight to Liberia on a certain airline. And this certain airline's reputation. I said, how was the ride? He said, well, when we were straight up, it was okay. But when we were turned totally sideways a few times and shaking, he said, I was wondering about whether I was going to make it. I said, God kept you. You're standing in front of me. Airplanes. Whew, I've had enough of them. I was thinking about all the flights from China, India, Nepal, Peru, Liberia, Ghana, and Togo in the last few months. Kept by what? Kept by God. God is a divine keeper. Psalm 121, verse 5. God is my keeper. Did God keep David? David lost his wife. He lost his king. He lost Samuel. When Samuel passed, he lost Absalom. He lost Ammon. He lost his self-respect. He lost Jerusalem. He went out barefoot. It was like he lost everything. But yet, you know what? God never lost David. Amen? God kept him. God kept him. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you can see times in people's lives with Ruth, people in the scriptures where God kept them. He kept Paul in prison in Acts 16. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. He kept them. He kept Peter. when he was locked up in Acts 4, 5, and then also the situation that happened to them later on in 10 and 11. He kept them. He kept them. Is he the same God?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
That wasn't convincing.
Is he the same God?
Yes.
Yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Can he keep you?
Yes.
When you fail, can he keep you?
Yes.
When you sin, can he keep you?
Yes.
When you make wrong decisions, can he keep you?
Yes.
When you're totally strange in your brain, can he keep you?
Yes.
Strange brains, huh? Huh? Hello? He keeps us. He observes us to preserve us. And that's awesome. I'm the apple of his eye. Father, thank you today. God keeps us. He kept Esther. He kept Israel. He kept Daniel. He kept Moses. Moses didn't even know. How can you keep yourself when you're like a little baby in an ark floated down the Nile River? Zion said, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten us. God said, can a woman forget her sucking child? And I will not forget you. I will not forget you. Zion said, but God said. Sometimes we say, where's God? God says, I'm right here. You just don't figure it. You can't figure it out yet. I'm here. I observe you to preserve you. We thank you. You kept Gideon. You kept Jacob. You kept Samson when he went the wrong way. You are the divine keeper. Thank you for keeping us. Help us. Deliver us from self-consciousness. May we be God conscious, Word of God conscious, Spirit conscious, Body Life conscious, Eternal Purpose conscious. We thank you today. If you are here and you've never received Jesus Christ, the verses we used, when you believe, you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise to the day of redemption. On the internet or in the assembly, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, simply pray this prayer. God does the saving. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, past, present, and future, all of them. His blood. Say, Jesus, save me. Come into my life. Live in me. Become my divine keeper. Seal me with the Holy Spirit of promise. On the internet, in the assembly, just lift your hand or acknowledge to God any way you desire. Jesus, save me. Jesus, thank you. When you save me, you will keep me. Kept forever. Kept forever. Can't keep myself. Can't be kept by somebody else. But it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We thank you this morning. Thank you. Kept. By the power of God. Yes, you would deny the Lord, but you would write later on, I've been kept by the power of God unto salvation. That's Peter. Thank you. Kept Israel, even when they went astray. Worshipping idols, God kept them. They are his covenant nation, kept by God. I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Experientially, God, may our minds be stayed on you. We thank you. Bless our service at 11 and the one at 6:30 tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.